it on. We're back for the next hour of the Restaurant Show. Going to take you on up until 5 o'clock. Rosie's Dine, I beg your pardon, Rosie's Ice Cream, 4999 West 44th Avenue. I put this together with Steve Longman back in January on about a 75-degree day. He said, let's wait till April 20th when the weather will be just beautiful and we'll have people out for ice cream cones. Well, we've got the $5.60 cone for only $2 up until 5 o'clock. Love to have you come on out. If you come on out, I have promised an extra gift certificate. So Deborah in Lakewood is going to get a gift certificate for braving this cold weather and having an ice cream. Any weather is ice cream weather. Got a lot of stuff to do this hour, but first let's talk about movies with Betsy. Betsy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm having a great day. The message from John says, you want to talk about movies from Denver, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So I had a couple of movies I wanted to recommend to you that we've seen, both at the, well, I guess they're all, both of them are at the Chez Artiste.
Okay.
And so the first one is called One Life. I don't know if you've heard about it. Sir Anthony Hopkins is in it.
No.
And it's a true story about an Englishman, a young English guy who goes to Prague in like 1938 or so and sees the plight of the Jewish children. It's before the Nazis had closed the border.
Right.
And he makes it his mission, I guess, to evacuate as many of those Jewish kids as he can to England. And it's quite a story, and of course anything with Anthony Hopkins in it has got to be good.
No question.
The second one is called Wicked Little Letters, and Olivia Colman's in it, and it's roll on the floor funny. So
Wicked what?
Wicked Little Letters.
Okay.
And anyway, I think you'd like them, and I think your listeners would also like it. So I just want to pass those on to you and tell you that I'm sorry that I won't be at the book club meeting in May. I just finished Dirty 30. I wish I could be there for Janet Ivanovich, but I'm going to be out of town. But her dialogue, you got to ask her, maybe you have in the past, but you got to ask her where she gets the inspiration for Lulu's
You know
comments.
What? Every one of her 30 books, Stephanie Plum, bail bond collection agent in Trenton, New Jersey. She can't decide whether she's in love with Morelli or with Carlos Ranger. She can't decide, you know, what she's going to do about a car, what she's going to do. I mean, every one of her books is funny, but it's always the same. And I mean, it's like she plugs in and turns the crank. God bless her. But you read them, and you know that at some point she and Lulu are going to get in trouble, and you know that at some point she's going to get kidnapped or something's going to happen, and there's going to be a miraculous save at the end. And you don't care because you're just, it's like watching Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation for 30 years. You know every line, every situation, and you still laugh at it, don't you, Betsy?
Oh, you do. You do. And like you say, they're mostly the same, but the conversation is different every time.
Question.
And some of the things that come out of Lulu's mouth are just unbelievable.
All right, welcome back to The Restaurant Show, where we talk about restaurants, travel, movies, books, sports, whatever we feel like talking about. I've been taking groups of listeners on trips for over 20 years. People have thoroughly enjoyed themselves. When COVID hit, we settled on Mexico, and we just got back from Cancun, but we're going to branch out in November. November 7th to the 14th, we're going to Costa Rica. It's on my website at mikeboyle.com. It's been in all my newsletters. We're starting to get a number of reservations. We got about a dozen and a half people ready to go. Price is great. Resort is beautiful. So I don't want to get too far over my skis here. But next February, looking for something a little bit different. When I was just in Cancun, I realized that the new International Airport at Tulum, T-U-L-U-M, has opened. And for those of you that may not be familiar with the Yucatan Peninsula, maybe you've flown into Cancun, gone straight to your resort, sat by the pool, had a cocktail. Well, you've got Puerto Morales, Playa del Carmen, Riviera Maya. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. But when you start getting down along the Yucatan, it can be an hour, hour and a half, maybe even 2 hours from the Cancun airport. So you land, you're tired, you want to get to the beach, you want to get to the pool, and it's that long drive. Well, Tulum is a fascinating place. They've got Mayan ruins right on the beach overlooking the Caribbean. You've got Coba that isn't too far from there. It's got a very vibrant but smaller shopping village. Tulum International Airport just recently opened. So in February of 2025, I've asked my next guest, his name is Warren Erbsen, he's the official travel agent of the Restaurant Show, to try to figure out how we can go. Now, if we get on United today, it would be United to Houston, Houston to Tulum. All right, one stop, not a big problem. United does a wonderful job. But my guess is that by the time we get into the season, October, November, December, I'd be willing to bet out of a major hub there would be a United nonstop out of Denver to Tulum. We can't guarantee it at this point. Mike, what about the Riu's? What about the Riu Palaces? We love them, the a la carte restaurants. Well, there's one about 30 miles from the Tulum airport, which really isn't very much at all. But there's a couple of other all-inclusive, beautiful Hilton properties right in Tulum. So I've asked Warren to just kind of do a little research, but that's where I'm going next February. We just need to figure out the details, the price, and so forth. Warren, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me. I think this is going to be a fun adventure.
It could very well be, and I've traveled down to Tulum and enjoyed all of the antiquities, the history, the Mayan ruins. It is a beautiful, beautiful area, and there are a number of resorts that are closer to Tulum. The Riu resorts, as you say, are about 35 miles away, but they're not much difference between where they are from Tulum than they are from the Cancun airport. So as far as making the transition, it just would be interesting to fly into a new place. What we're hoping, obviously, is that United sees enough traffic going down there that they'll start putting on some nonstop flights out of Denver, just like they've done to, say, Cozumel and some of the other areas around the Yucatan Peninsula. So we're just taking a look at it. And price-wise, it's fairly close to the price of a ticket to Cancun. It may be $20-$30 more, but not a great difference.
Well, and a few years ago, United, for the season, announced a nonstop right to Cozumel. It used to be you had to go Houston-Cozumel, or you had to go Cancun-Cozumel. So, believe me, if they think that there's going to be a market for it, they've already got nonstops out of Chicago. Other airlines have nonstops out of Dallas and Miami and Atlanta. So I don't see any reason why this won't come together. One of the other things is that if you're interested in Mayan ruins, Chichen Itza is very nice, but if you leave a hotel to go to Chichen Itza, you're going to leave at 7 o'clock in the morning, long bus ride, spend some time at the ruins, maybe have a Mayan lunch, and get back about 7 o'clock at night. If you are staying in Tulum and you want to go to Mayan ruins, you can practically walk to the Tulum ruins, which are spectacular, and so you can get your Mayan fix doing it that way. They've got a neat little shopping area. I know that in the past some folks have been in Cancun with me, been in Puerto Morales, and said we'd like to go to Tulum, and it would be maybe a 6-7 hour excursion. Well, it's about 2 hours down. You get a couple of hours of shopping, maybe an hour of lunch, and then another 2 hour ride back. Well, you're going to be able to get a short, brief cab ride right into Tulum and see some new restaurants, see some new shops and so forth. And even if you want to turn around and go up to Playa del Carmen, that's not very far away. So I just think, Warren, that and you know, I've talked to so many of our listeners over the years, both that have thought about going and those that have gone, and they like to get different stuff. They like to get new stuff. And I think that a trip to Tulum in February 2025, folks, we don't have all the details yet. But what I would suggest, send me an email. Come up to me at an event. Give me a phone call. Contact Warren, and we'll put together a list. And when we have it put together, we will contact you so that you can be one of the first to get your deposit in and lock up a space. But the airport is absolutely beautiful. They've got the train running. You might even want to take the train from Tulum to Cancun or Cancun to Merida. So there's going to be plenty to do down there. But Warren, thanks an awful lot for, you know, I come up with these ideas, and then you got to do the work. You got to do the heavy lifting. But thanks for doing that. And I'll talk to you as we.
It's always fun.
Yep. And I will be talking to you. And as we get details, let me know and I will get them on the air. Okay. Thank you, Warren Erbsen.
You're welcome. Thank
you. All right. Costa Rica in November, Tulum in February. We'll be back on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. All right, let's talk about books here on the Restaurant Show. Happy to have you aboard. A listener that is in the Restaurant Show Book Club. The Restaurant Show Book Club meets periodically at the View House Restaurant in Centennial. We have people from Colorado Springs. We have people from Thornton. It's freeway close. Love to have you. There's no charge. We get together at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It goes till about 2:30. We have lunch at the View House. You order off the menu. We have author make a presentation. We have a book that we talk about. And then we also throw out some other books that I've received that you can then take home with you. It's really a fun, fun time. It's on my website at MikeBoyle.com. But at our last meeting, the book that was discussed is called Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. And I was not familiar with the book. I obviously did not read it before the book club get together. One of the book club members gave it to me. I took it to Mexico with me, read it on the beach. I thought it might be too much of a chick book. It's written by a woman. It's about a 70-year-old retired widow who cleans the local aquarium at night and befriends the aquarium's octopus. You know what? I loved it. I absolutely loved the book. And then, on the air, a listener called up and said, Mike, there's a documentary out that you might enjoy called My Octopus Teacher. It's on Netflix. It's an hour and 23 minutes. Man, I'm telling you what, I watched it and I loved it. I was a little bit familiar with octopus. It comes up when we're at a restaurant on a Mexico vacation, because octopus is typically available on the buffet somewhere. When I lived in Hawaii, worked on the beach with the guys, they would go out fishing, and they would go out in the shallow waters, which is where a number of octopus species live. There's over 300 species of octopus, and many of them live down in what they call the abysmal zone, which is the dark. It's 5 miles, 6 miles where it's dark. There's no light. And some of the bigger ones, the giant Pacific squid octopus, live down there. But most of them live in a lot of the shallow waters and the rocks and the reefs. And the guys that I worked with, they would go fishing for them. And they would go down and they would look into the rocks. And they would have an arbalete. And they'd see them in there. They'd spear them, bring them out, and then boil them and cook them for octopus dinner, okay? So I was familiar with them, but I didn't realize how incredibly bright they are. So when this woman writes this book, she was taking a creative writing class, and the teacher said, you know, this is pretty good stuff. You might want to think about expanding it. So then all of a sudden COVID comes around. She decides to write it. Well, I've got an article here that was from the New York Times Sunday edition about books. The unusual reach of that octopus book took even its publisher by surprise. Last year, during the holiday season sales crunch, Beth Buss started getting an unusual request from customers at Bookmarks, the independent bookstore that she works in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It was always, "Do you have the book with the octopus?" she said. She knew exactly which book they meant. Shelby Van Pelt's Remarkably Bright Creatures, a novel that features a cranky, mischievous octopus. The surge in demand was unexpected because the novel had come out months earlier in the spring of 22. Even more surprising, sales continued to accelerate after the holidays into the winter and spring of 2023 and have never died down. The book with the octopus was Bookmark's top-selling novel of 2023, and requests for it have spiked again this holiday season. This is an article from the New York Times back in December. I don't think it's going to drop off because everybody who reads it wants other people to read it. And I'll tell you this, as soon as I finished it, I gave it to a listener on the group trip to Mexico, and she came up to me after that and said she absolutely loved it. So it's a wonderful, wonderful article, but it made me find out, and by the way, do you know what the plural of octopus is? No, it is not octopi. And so, if you were to go to the New Oxford Dictionary in 2010, it says octopuses is the only correct. There's some people that claim octopi. There's some people that claim octopods. But it is octopuses. So anyway, I read the book. It made me want to find out a little bit more about these creatures. So I watched the television documentary. You know what? They've got a short lifespan. Some of them only live about 6 months, but it goes from 6 months to maybe 3 years. The giant Pacific squid I was telling you about, they can live up to 6 years. The gestation period can be 4 to 10 months, and the female doesn't eat during the pregnancy while she's taking care of these eggs that are in her. And so she becomes very lethargic. She becomes prey. And the males die generally right after mating. Yeah, kind of interesting. I mean, I just found this stuff fascinating. They're soft-bodied, 8 limbs, and one giant Pacific squid octopus has been found that was up to 600 pounds and 30 feet in span with the tentacles. And when the babies are born, there's no parental guidance whatsoever. Almost kind of reminds you of like the turtles you see hatched on the beach in Mexico. You know, once they hatch, they got to try to get to the water, and what, something like 75, 80, 90% of them get picked up by predators before they even get to the water. Only something like maybe 10% survive. But, I, there is an octopus, believe it or not, I believe it's down around Australia, that has a venom that is so strong that it can kill a human. Yeah, so you got to be a little bit careful. They change colors. They can escape, hide. They're very intelligent. They can open jars. They escape aquariums. And that's what this guy does in Remarkably Bright Creatures. He gets out of his aquarium, and he goes wandering around looking for other things to eat. And then he knows that he's only got so much time, and he's got to get back in the water. He's got to get back in the tank. I called up the Denver Aquarium. Did you know that the Denver Aquarium is owned by the restaurant group Landry's? Yeah, the guy's name is Tillman Fertitta, and, you know, he bought the Chart House, and he's got the old Landry's restaurants, and if you go down to Galveston, he's got the whole pier along there with a number. He's got something like 360, 380 restaurants. I believe he owns the Houston Rockets. He's obviously tremendously wealthy, but back in 2003, the Denver Aquarium was underwater financially. They had something like $62 million in debt. He stepped in and bought it for $13.6 million. Probably a pretty good investment on his part. So anyway, I called them up and I asked if I could talk with one of the experts. And of course, it's such a huge monster corporation. I wouldn't have been able to get through the maze. They were very nice. I called the general curator. He's very familiar. The octopus at the Denver Aquarium. She is named Midnight. That's her name, just for your information. And he put me in touch with the PR people down in Houston, and they said it all had to be approved by corporate, blah, blah, blah. So I just said, fine, I'll go ahead and do it on my own. But I found it very, very interesting, and I would really suggest the book. Their diet depends on their habitat, their size, the species. They're opportunistic predators, meaning they eat whatever is available in their surroundings. They use their eight arms equipped with suction cups to capture their prey. The arms then bring the food into the octopus's head, where a sharp beak is used to break down the prey's hard shell. Yeah, it can eat a crab. It can eat a lobster. And, you think about those shells. Some of the common prey include crabs, clams, snails, shrimp, and small fish. The giant Pacific octopus, which I mentioned already, is the largest octopus species, can even eat small sharks and birds. But the most common octopus, on the other hand, typically feeds on crustaceans and small mollusks. They are intelligent creatures that have been observed using tools to capture their prey. They've been known to mimic other sea creatures to avoid predators. They also have a diet rich in nutrients to maintain their health. They have three hearts, high metabolism, which means they need a lot of oxygen and food to survive. And some of them will even eat their own arms if they are desperate for food. So, the book really stimulated me. The movie really stimulated me. And I've even recommended it to a couple people that have young children. And rather than watching cartoons, if you get them to watch a documentary where you might learn something about animals or about seafood or whatever it happens to be, I thought it was very, very interesting. So I thought I would share that with you. Once again, the book is called Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. And the documentary is called My Octopus Teacher, because it's what this guy teaches himself to free dive in 45 degree water off the Cape of South Africa. 45 degree water. Most free divers can stay under maybe 30 seconds, but good ones can teach themselves to go down 200-300 feet and stay for 4 minutes. Talk about the lung capacity. So my advice, read the book. My advice, see the video. I think that you would really, really enjoy it. All right, just one more, so you don't get this on regular restaurant shows. So let's go ahead and take a break. All right, let's get back to Steve Longman. Steve Longman's the owner and operator of Rosie's Ice Cream Parlor. We are at 4999 West 44th Avenue. I thought you said, Mike, you were at 4449 West 44th Avenue. Folks, you'll find it. 4999 West 44th Avenue in the Berkeley District of Denver. Come on by. We've got some specials on ice cream. Steve, let's talk a little bit about, you talked about how the staples, the vanillas, the chocolates, and the strawberries at an artisan ice cream parlor like Rosie's or your Inside Scoop in Littleton, those just don't sell particularly well. They sell fine, but they don't sell the way they would sell maybe in a grocery store or some institutional setting, because you have so many flavors. Talk about some of the flavors that you offer that have been very popular and maybe have even moved into the category of the 20 flavors that you offer every day at both places. Maybe move into the 3 or 4 or 5 that you offer regularly.
Yeah. Well,
did you understand that question? Because I'm not sure I understood it when I was asking it. But
I'll wing it here.
Okay. Thanks.
You can decide. I think I would say Oreo ice cream is probably the biggest seller that we have from a homemade ice cream parlor standpoint. When you have a number of flavors out at one time, Oreo is probably the most popular ice cream that we that we sell.
Let me ask you this, Steve. Let me ask you about your childhood, if I may. When you got Oreo cookies at the Longman household, did you simply eat the cookie, or were you one of these guys that pulled it apart and licked the stuffing inside?
I think I went through that phase.
You did? Okay, you went through that phase. I'm not sure I ever did. I just, give me the cookie. I want to eat it. All right, anyway, so Oreo cookie, I'm sorry, go ahead. We're talking about flavors.
Yep, I would just, the ones that I think you want, that people are going to come in and look for are Oreo. Cookie dough ice cream is incredibly popular as well. And now you're dealing with a lot of, teens. Candy bar ice cream is really popular. We might have anything from Snickers bars to peanut butter cup, Kit Kat. You crunch up a bunch of candies in ice cream, and they're really, really big sellers for us as well.
Hey, have you tried a little bit of a segue here? Have you tried, you've seen it maybe on some of the sports commercials, the Reese's peanut butter cup with caramel? Have you seen those ads? Have you tried those?
I haven't.
I've seen the ads, and I tried them. I mean, they look so good. I went out, and I got one of the two packs. And I'll tell you this. They are good. But if I was 16 years old, I would be able to feel my face breaking out as I ate it. They are that sugary and that sweet. Anyway, Steve, what are some other flavors?
You know, during the summer, we have certain flavors that are really popular that we make mainly in the summer. We make what we call is a lemon ice cream with lemon sandwich cookies crumbled into it. We call it Lemon Crunch. Mm-hmm. Very popular. Mm. We make a strawberry ice cream with basil in it, which is a little bit more for kind of the foodies of the world. People like to want to have something a little savory in there along with their sweet. Mm-hmm. We also make an ice cream that's very popular called Honey Lavender, which is, so we are, I would say, a very straightforward, kind of old-fashioned mom-and-pop hard ice cream serving establishment. We don't get really out there with fancy, fancy flavors. We like to have a few things that we make that are a little unique that people can, you know, a lot of times people just want to sample a few things, even though they have no intention of ordering it. Mm. Like, you might come in and go, I know I'm going to order the coffee chip, but in the meantime, I might want to try a little of this, a little of that. Mm. We also make something that we call...
One of the things that I found when I do that is that, and one of the missions of this show has been, since I went on the air, is to get people out of their rut a little bit, whether it's a geographic rut, a travel rut, whether it's a restaurant rut, a menu item at a restaurant, but to try some different stuff. And I will admit that I'm stuck on chocolate and the coffee chip. But when I've sampled different stuff at your suggestion, I say to myself, man, that's pretty good. Maybe I ought to live a little here.
I think last time you were in, Mike, we tried our Minnesota salted toffee.
Yes, sir, we did.
Which is kind of a signature flavor for our group. And it is a huge seller. And you know, you need to have a couple flavors on your line that people maybe might find at your shop, but maybe not somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You can have some uniqueness. Uh-huh. So I guess as an ice cream maker, you're kind of balancing out the standard flavors. I mean, we always have vanilla on our line, although it doesn't always move very fast. But, you know, you want to have your standards. You want to have the popular ones, which is the cookie dough and the Oreo. And you definitely want to have some unique flavors where someone could go, well, that's interesting. We've made a honey bourbon ice cream. Mm-hmm. that people have, even if you're not a bourbon drinker, you taste it and go, well, that's really interesting. I like that. So it's kind of balancing those three things, kind of the old standards and the real popular ones and some unique ones, so that the experience when people come in, when they're in your shop, they can bounce around and find something that is right for them. But I always have to have coffee on the line, because you coffee ice cream people will lose your mind if you can't find coffee.
And you know what? I'm not a coffee drinker. I love coffee. And when you're in the field, in the Army, you want your coffee. And I loved it then. And when you would come in from surfing, you paddled out at 5:36 in the morning, you were out for a couple of hours, even though the temperature's 80 degrees, when you come in, there's a little bit of a chill and you love your coffee, but I just don't drink coffee. But I will tell you this, I love the flavor. I love the smell of coffee, but I love the flavor of coffee when you put it in ice cream. So I certainly understand. So do you get some people coming in that maybe have had about three or four cups of Devil's Cup coffee here at Devil's Cup Coffee and Rosie's Ice Cream Parlor, had three or four cups of coffee? Do you see them at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock on their way to work, and maybe at the 10 o'clock break, and maybe at the noon hour, and then do they come back in at 3 o'clock to have coffee ice cream?
Well, I haven't seen that yet, but I'm not in a coffee shop at 7 in the morning. I worry about my ice cream hours here, but without a doubt, we have so many people that are just, that's their coffee, that's their flavor. It's unique that people are. There's also another flavor out there that if you like coconut, there's coconut people that almost rival coffee people.
I like shaved coconut on an acai bowl. When I go get the Brazilian acai bowl, and I'll have them slice up a banana, and I'll have them put a little bit of coconut and a little bit of honey on it. Oh man, that's a nice breakfast. That's a nice way to get going. Steve, a couple of other things. What about special orders? What about, do you get and are you capable of handling? Somebody calls up and says, we're having a birthday party this weekend. Doesn't matter if it's a 5-year-old or a 50-year-old. We're going to have a group over. We're going to do some barbecuing. We're going to cook some hot dogs, some burgers, whatever. But we'd like to have 3 or 4 or 5 quantities of ice cream, different types of ice cream for a party of 5 or 10 or 25. Can you handle that?
You know, if you're going to have a party that's less than 25, I suggest that you come on in and look through our pint freezer and grab about 5 or 6 pints and put them in your freezer, and you can scoop them as you need to be.
Okay.
If you have a party of maybe 50 to 100 people and would like a little bit more of an ice cream experience, we can set up something for you to where I can use my Yeti coolers. We can set up something for you so that people can choose the ice cream they want and maybe some toppings on top, and they'll have a little bit more of an event. So we're here to help any way that we can. If people want to have a fun ice cream experience, I hope either Inside Scoop or Rosie's is here to come up with some ideas and hopefully help make that be a special occasion for you.
Okay, I have one more final question for you that I think will indicate to a lot of listeners exactly what kind of a man you are. All right, when you get the pints, when you take home a pint from Rosie's, whether it's one that you've got in the cooler or one that you specifically have made for you, do you, wherever you get your ice cream, do you, when you get it home and put it in the freezer, when you take it out, when you're ready to have some ice cream, do you scoop it into a bowl or do you eat it out of a carton?
Well,
I just want it in a bowl. I put it in a bowl. I'm not an animal. I don't eat it out of the carton, but I'd like to hear your take.
You know, I think if you're living and sharing ice cream with more than one person, that's probably a good way to do it. If you're living by yourself and you're it's kind of a built-in bowl for you whenever you want it.
Yeah, and there's nobody to judge you. Yeah, I think if you're sitting around with your sweetheart, you probably ought to put your respective ice cream in your respective bowl. I agree with that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right. Sorry, I had to sneeze. But at any rate, all right, so what are the hours typically here at Rosie's?
You know, we're in our early spring hours. We weren't open. Rosie's wasn't open over the winter. So we're just kind of waking up right now. And we're open Wednesday, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Okay.
As I'm waiting for my high school ice cream scoopers to finish up with track and soccer, and I'm going to start filling in a few more shifts and extending our shifts in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But by May 1st, we should be open 7 days a week from 1 to 9 o'clock all 7 days out of the week.
All right. And don't forget Inside Scoop, folks, on Prince Street, right off of Main Street in downtown Littleton. I'm Mike Boyle. His name is Steve Longman. He's the owner and operator of Rosie's Ice Cream Parlor, 4999 West 44th Avenue. Come on by. We'd love to see you. I'm Mike Boyle. Let's take a break on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show.
I'm Mike Boyle. This is the Restaurant Show. Got you with me for about 5 or 6 more minutes. I'll be back tomorrow. You know what? I'm looking at all my notes. I'm looking at all the stuff I didn't get a chance to cover. I will get to it tomorrow from 10 o'clock until noon. Take your calls. I've got some fun stuff planned for tomorrow's show. I want to thank Don in Brighton for calling in. Don went over to Rosie's for ice cream. Don, did you get great ice cream? But were you a little disappointed that I wasn't there?
Well, me and Eric, the great American, and a few other were a bit disappointed that you wasn't here. But yes, we absolutely got some great ice cream. And Cedar, like the tree, she's throwing a wave at you. And we're just having a lot of fun here. And Eric went ahead and drove off. He's probably listening. And because you and Steve weren't here, my wife and I get to enjoy your guys' burritos, and we're going to find out how good Eric's burritos are.
Well, and what I'm going to do is I've got your mailing address. As promised, I will send you a gift certificate. It will be in your mailbox in Brighton sometime this week. Thanks for listening, Don. Thanks for you and your wife driving over. Let's go to Randy Corcoran. Randy Corcoran coming up at 5 o'clock. I'm a little disappointed in Randy Corcoran. Yesterday, I got up at 4:30 in the morning. I was at the Black Eyed Pea for the Jeff and Bill show. We had Brandon Tatum there. We had a wonderful crowd. I had a great green chili scramble from the Black Eyed Pea for their breakfast menu. But, Randy, you were conspicuous in your absence.
Yeah, I'm working on my girlish figure, and a great big Black Eyed Pea breakfast does not fit into the menu, I'm afraid.
Okay, well, all right. That's your excuse, and you're sticking to it. Randy, I want to tell you something. I looked up, and by the way, Jeff Crank drove all the way up from Colorado Springs because he is seeking the Republican nomination for the Congressional District 5 being vacated by Doug Lamborn. So it was nice to see Jeff. You know, he's been a talk show host down there for years. He's very active in the Republican Party. I think a nice guy. And so it was nice to see Jeff. One of the things that I noticed, I decided to look up the congressional candidates for District 4. Every one of them has a donation link, no surprise there. And not one of them on their website has a phone number. Is that just a sign of the times?
I really think it is. Although, if I were running for office, in fact, since I opened my law firm back in 1998, I've always had my cell phone on my business cards. It's on my emails, personal and business. Because, you know, if somebody abuses it, you can put a stop to it. I've just never really had that happen in 26 years now of practicing law.
I agree with you. My phone's on 24/7. My cell phone, which is the number I use, is on my website at mikeboyle.com, and I get calls. And you know, it's kind of nice to connect with people. And I just think that it's all part, whether it's restaurants or politics. I think it's part of this personal contact, this personal touch. When you call up the Randy Corcoran show for the next couple of hours, Randy's going to take your call, and Randy's going to have a nice conversation with you, whether you agree or disagree. I just think that we have to be careful, regardless of the occupation, on not losing our personal touch, Randy.
Yeah, and you know, what if somebody really needs you, or there's something really important going on, or in the case of a politician, you know, you've got a voter there that a 5-minute conversation, hey, look, I got to get back to my meeting. I'm really glad you called. You know, follow up with me again. It just makes sense. And you don't always have to answer the phone. If you're busy, it'll go to voicemail. You can call people back. So I just never saw it as a problem.
I don't either. What do you got coming up, Randy?
Man, there is so much going on. Bill Maher, the radical leftist, is had a nice little rant regarding the newly appointed CEO of NPR. Just another contribution to the ever-increasing narrative that's becoming obvious to everybody that we are living in a communist takeover with massive media censorship and
I think she's a nut.
Yeah, she's bad, man. She is bad.
I reduce things sometimes, Randy, to a little simpler term, but I do. I think she's a complete screwball.
But if you listen to her and then you look at how, you know, communist governments control the narrative in their media and that sort of thing, it all fits together, man.
Well, we'll be out there listening. His name is Randy Corporan, and he follows the Restaurant Show every Saturday at 5 o'clock. And you know what? You listen to Randy Corporan when the show goes off, you'll be smarter than when the show went on. So you enjoy it. Folks, the out song is Zach Brown's Toes. I got my toes in the water, my butt in the sand. This was me last week in Mexico, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. As he says, adios and vaya con Dios. Goodbye, go with God. Have a great rest of your evening. You know what? I'll be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock with another edition of the Restaurant Show. Yeah, life is good today. Life is good today.